Good morning. This is Leading Age DC, Leading Age Maryland, Leading Age Ohio, Leading Age Virginia. Tuesday Stand Up. This morning we have Sophie Campbell from Baker Tilly talking about restorative nursing. Is your program positively impacting quality measures? Sophie's going to speak for about 15 minutes, and then we will open it up for questions. Thank you, and take it away, Sophie.
Good morning. It's my pleasure to be with all of you this morning to talk about a subject that is very important to us, not only in connection with quality measures, which is what we'll focus on this morning, but also looking at restorative nursing from the perspective of the positive impact that restorative can have on your residents' quality of care as well as quality of life. So let's start with what is restorative nursing and how is it defined. Restorative nursing and the restorative nursing program is a nursing program of interventions that promote the residents' ability to adapt and adjust to changes that they need to make in their functional mobility as well as in their self-care status. We're looking at a concept that actively focuses on the resident achieving and maintaining optimal physical, mental, and psychosocial functioning. If that sounds familiar, it should. It's part of our regulatory requirements. It's part of what we should be doing for our resident related to quality of care and quality of life, which is under F520. Quality measures, we're all very familiar with them. Some people call them the CASPER report because it's retrieved from the CASPER website. We're looking at quality measures as one of the three items that determines our five-star quality rating. It is also one of the areas that is determined by what we're coding on our MDS 3.0 assessment tool. So everything that shows up in our quality measures comes from what we coded on our MDS assessment. The quality measures are also used by our surveyors to determine residents that they want to interview, residents that they want to review documentation for, and we're looking at the triggers on the quality measure report because those trigger areas should be addressed by our facility team members. In terms of restorative nursing programs and looking at the correlation to the quality measures, restorative nursing programs can have a direct positive impact on quality measures for ADLs, and the trigger would be for increased assistance required for ADLs, for excessive weight loss, for residents who are reporting moderate and or severe pain, for high-risk pressure ulcers, for falls and falls with major injury, and for low-risk loss of bowel and bladder continence. So you're seeing a number of quality measures for which the restorative nursing programs can have a direct positive impact for your residents and for your quality measures. In addition to the direct positive impact, restorative nursing programs can have an indirect positive impact on the quality measures for depressive symptoms or behaviors, as well as for the use of psychotropic and antidepressant medication. And what we're looking at here, the direct positive impact, you can see that more easily, and we will talk about that in a little bit more detail, but the indirect positive impact is related to residents who become depressed because they're unable to function, residents who become depressed because they need more assistance, residents who are who start to demonstrate behaviors because they're depressed, or because they are unable to do the things that they want to do. And how many times do we have a resident who tries to get out of bed and assist himself into the wheelchair or back into bed or to the bathroom so he doesn't have to call for help because he's a proud person, because he's always helped himself, because he doesn't want an 18-year-old or 19-year-old nursing assistant to have to assist him every time he wants to go to the bathroom or she wants to go to the bathroom. There are injuries associated with that, as well as when we tell that person that they can't do it, they become depressed, they might demonstrate behaviors, but the more they can function, the more they can do for themselves through repetitive assistance with functional mobility and repetitive assistance with self-care tasks, we can get the resident to their highest practicable level of function and mobility. Restorative nursing programs can be provided either by a designated distinct team of nursing assistants, or restorative nursing programs can be provided by your nursing assistants as part of their current role in providing care for the resident. Restorative nursing programs can also be provided by other team members, not just nursing assistants, which we'll address in a little while. Restorative nursing programs can be initiated in conjunction with rehabilitation therapy, which is the rehabilitation low category, and we're looking at that both for our long-term residents as well as our short-term residents. It can also be initiated at the discharge of residents from Part B therapy, and I strongly recommend that if your rehabilitation therapists are not discharging to rehabilitation or to restorative nursing, that they should be, that you have a discussion with your rehabilitation therapy manager so that when folks are being discharged and all of the things that have been worked on with them, whether it's the development of a maintenance program, which would be referred to restorative nursing, or it's implementation of and work with compensatory strategies related to a functional mobility or a self-care task that the resident has either declined in, improved in, or demonstrated some changes with, those should be referred to restorative nursing so that those compensatory strategies, those abilities, those functional abilities can be maintained by the restorative nursing program. It can also be initiated without therapy, but I strongly recommend that therapy evaluates the resident and develops the restorative nursing program from the perspective of they are the experts related to ambulation, related to transfers, related to all of the functional mobility and self-care programs that we perform in restorative nursing. Team members who provide restorative nursing programs and services must be educated. This is a requirement. It's not just what we learn when we are trained to be nursing assistants. It's not just what we learn in our orientation to the facility when we're a new employee. It is the slightly heightened awareness of what the resident needs to do. It's being able to take the resident through the steps of a transfer, through the steps of ambulation. It's being able to educate the resident on how to right themselves when they're listing to the left or listing to the right or catching their toes in their slacks when they're ambulating or placing the walker too far out when they're ambulating. So those are the things that we know how to do, but we may not be able to educate our residents on. And education of our residents related to the functional mobility and self-care tasks is a hallmark piece of restorative nursing. Restorative nursing is not just a group of functions. It's also educating the resident on what to do and how to do it as part of that task. Restorative nursing programs must also have measurable objectives and interventions, and these must be care planned. They can either be a separate care plan for restorative nursing, or the items that we're working on with the resident through restorative nursing can be captured under those areas in the care plan. A licensed nurse must supervise the restorative nursing program service delivery. And if you're thinking you need to hire another licensed nurse, that's not necessarily true. It depends on the size of your facility and the number of residents that you have in the restorative nursing program. You can use a nurse who is also doing another function in your facility, such as your staff development nurse, your wound care nurse, your infection preventionist, your ADON, can also take charge of, or on specific units, if you have multiple units in the facility, the unit manager can be in charge of the restorative nursing program for that specific unit or that specific neighborhood or clinical area for your residents. If you have a greenhouse, your clinical manager can be the restorative nursing coordinator for the greenhouse or the small house. You need to have periodic evaluation of the service delivered. This is what makes it a program. As we all know, whether it's a turning and positioning program or it's a bowel and bladder retraining program, for it to be considered a program, there must be an evaluation of the effectiveness of the program that was implemented with and for the resident. So what the periodic evaluation is looking for related to restorative nursing is, has the resident achieved their goals? If they haven't achieved their goals, can we say why the resident hasn't achieved their goals? For example, a resident with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD. It might be their endurance. It might be their difficulty breathing as we increase their distance for ambulation, or we take away their walker and ask them to ambulate without the walker, those kinds of things. But we need to document if we know why the resident hasn't achieved their goals. And are we going to change the goals because of what we saw and why the resident may not be achieving the goals? And we need to note that in the periodic evaluation. And lastly, in the periodic evaluation, we need to say how this restorative nursing program is benefiting the resident. So we need to talk about what the resident is gaining from the program. For example, a range of motion program that the resident has no signs of contractures and the resident is able to dress himself without pain or is able to be dressed without pain. Addition and periodic evaluations, that's how it's stated in both the RAI manual as well as the requirements for restorative nursing. Those can be monthly. I wouldn't do them more often than monthly, or they can be quarterly. Quarterly is also acceptable. I wouldn't recommend that you have a time span any longer than quarterly, but no less than monthly. And we also have to have documentation that the service was delivered. So the folks who are delivering the service, just like they're documenting their ADLs, their meal consumption, their turning and repositioning, they need to document the restorative programs that they're delivering. And if it requires a parameter, such as for ambulation, we document the number of feet that the resident ambulated. For range of motion, we document the number of repetitions and which joint we provided range to. And, of course, we're documenting the minutes because restorative nursing programs are just like therapy. They require that the minutes are documented, and we're looking at for restorative nursing to count it as a day of service. There must be 15 minutes of restorative nursing program service delivery in a 24-hour period, just as with therapy. So it's not each time we work with the resident we need to provide 15 minutes, but 15 minutes over a 24-hour period. In terms of the number of functional mobility and self-care services that fall under the restorative nursing program umbrella, we have active and passive range of motion, we have ambulation, communication, eating and dining, or it could be a swallowing program, transfers, bed mobility, splint and or brace assistance, dressing and or grooming assistance, and amputation and or prosthesis care. You can find all of these items listed on the MDF under Section O, and they are towards the end of Section O, and you will have all of these listed. These are all of the areas that we can provide as part of our restorative nursing program. And as you can tell by the services that we just listed, you can see how these impact the quality measures. For example, all of these will impact your ADLs and the increased assistance for ADLs, which triggers on the quality measures. But when we talk about the resident who's had an excessive weight loss, we can look at the eating, dining, restorative nursing program, or we can look at active and passive range of motion. If the resident can't get the food to their mouth and they're dropping a lot of their food rather than ingesting it because they have pain in their joints, because they're unable to bend their joints to hold a spoon or a fork to move that arm up to their mouth to eat, that could impact their weight. When we talk about pain, active and passive range of motion can impact the resident with pain, even if we can't make them pain-free, if we can assist them to go from moderate to severe pain to minimal pain or mild pain, and it's tolerable for the resident. That is a true benefit of restorative nursing programs. When we talk about the residents and their bowel and bladder programs, sometimes the thing that holds us back or holds our resident back from being successful with a bowel and bladder program and keeps them incontinent is that they don't have the sitting balance on the toilet, or they don't have the transfer ability to go to and from the toilet, or they can't ambulate to and from the bathroom. Those are things that we can see are part of the restorative nursing program and things that we can assist our resident with. And all of these programs do assist the resident in terms of their falls. We can prevent or assist in preventing falls with all of these programs if the resident is not in pain because their joints don't hurt when they get up out of bed, if the resident can ambulate, if they can transfer safely and appropriately based on the restorative nursing programs that we're providing, we can decrease the number of falls. Restorative nursing programs can also include activities that can be provided by activities or life enrichment team members, but these folks have to be educated. The only programs that life enrichment or activities folks can provide is communication or active range of motion. Services can also be provided for residents with diagnoses of dementia and Alzheimer's, so we want to make sure that we don't eliminate those folks from our program. Restorative nursing can also be delivered as a fun activity. It can be throwing a football. We can deliver active range of motion if a resident throws a football or swings a bat or throws a basketball or kicks a ball. Those can also be part of restorative nursing. They can be fun for the residents. They can take them away from their usual activities, and they're still getting range of motion. It doesn't have to have weights or TheraBand involved in it. Because a lot of times if it does, your nursing assistants, if they're the ones delivering the restorative program, they are not going to have those things available to them. Restorative nursing programs can be delivered in groups. The group ratio can be no more than one team member to four residents, and the groups need to be pulled together appropriately. For example, everyone at the same communication and cognitive level, or at least within a range for communication and cognitive level. Restorative nursing programs are not general and routine nursing care. If I am transferring the resident from the bed to the wheelchair, that is not a restorative transfer program. A restorative transfer program requires that I educate the resident through the process. For example, make sure that your nose is over your toes, you're bending your ankles, your knees, and your hips, that you are leaning forward, that you know that your base of support is centered, that you are feeling the wheelchair at the back of your knees before you attempt to sit in the wheelchair, that you're reaching back with your arms. That's how we're getting the resident to be more safe with transfer, so that even if they are self-transferring without calling for assistance, they may be remembering this whole routine that we've gone through with them, and they are safer with their transfers. Restorative nursing programs can be delivered on any of our shifts, whether we're 10, 12, or 8-hour shifts. Any shift that the resident is awake and wants to be involved in a program, we can deliver restorative nursing services. But there should be a process that requires us to report to the next shift what was delivered, how much was delivered, how the resident did with the restorative program, and how many minutes were delivered, so the next shift knows what they need to capture. The coordinator of the restorative program should be monitoring, your quality measures to see if there are any changes in the quality measures and ensuring that these residents are referred to therapy for rehabilitation therapy to establish the restorative nursing program so that restorative nursing can continue that process. Maintenance restorative programs are considered restorative nursing programs because they help our residents to maintain their functions, especially important with residents who have progressive diseases like multiple sclerosis, like cerebral palsy, like Parkinson's disease. We do not need physician orders for restorative nursing programs unless your electronic medical record requires that you have the physician order in for it to pop in the EMR for folks to document. Rehabilitation therapists cannot manage the restorative nursing program. There are two areas with restorative nursing programs, as we've listed all the programs. If you're delivering both active and passive range of motion, it only counts as range of motion. So if you're giving 7 days of active range of motion and 7 days of passive range of motion, it's still only going to count as one restorative nursing program, range of motion. And you can't combine the two range of motion programs to equal the number of days or the number of minutes that you need. Additionally, bed mobility and ambulation. If the resident is receiving both of those services, it equals one restorative nursing program. Toileting programs are not listed in Section O of the MDS. They are in Section H of the MDS under Bowel and Bladder. And in those areas, if you have toileting programming coded, it does count as a restorative nursing program. Triggered quality measures must be investigated and must be addressed. Addressing resident functional changes can initiate with rehabilitation therapy, refer to restorative nursing to continue the process and maintain the compensatory strategies that the resident gained during therapy. When we look at restorative nursing as part of improving our quality measures, it assists our facility, it assists our five-star rating, but most importantly, restorative nursing programs assist our residents with their quality of care and their quality of life, which is important for our residents as well as important for us. Thank you so much for your attention this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you about a topic that I am very excited about. Are there any questions?
Thank you so much. I'm going to unmute the lines and stop the recording.